privilege to stand before you tonight to bring a message from God's Word, and look forward to seeing what the Lord does in our life as we encounter His living Word. And Jesus is the living Word. He is worthy of our praise. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for leading us in praise to Jesus. We're blessed to have Jeff on our staff. So I praise the Lord for Jeff Goggin. One of the things that I do as Minister of Congregational Care at Lakeview is to plan most of the funerals of those who are members of Lakeview. Not all funerals, but a good number of them, and work with the family. And as the Lord opens and the family requests that I officiate at a funeral, many times at the conclusion of the service, I will do this. And I will say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. You have your Bibles. Turn to Numbers chapter 6 tonight. Numbers chapter 6. I want to talk briefly about this wonderful blessing found in the Word of God in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. And no, this is not the liberal version of the Bible. This is different from the NIV, but there's a lot of similarities. Look at verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his son, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And so shall they put My name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Oh, gracious Father, thank You so much that You are the Holy One of Israel, the Lord God Almighty of Israel, who sits upon His throne tonight. And Father, according to Your word, You desire to bless us. Just as You bless the nation and the children of Israel, so You would love to bless us tonight. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that our minds are alert and our hearts are receptive to hearing Your great word, that we might be blessed and thereby be a blessing to other people. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer, because I pray in the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. First of all, in this passage, I want to talk about the title of the sermon, is A Great Blessing. A Great Blessing. This is a wonderful prayer to pray for your family, for your loved ones, for those that God brings upon your heart that you are interceding for. This is a great prayer because it comes from the Lord. So number one, I want to talk about the blessing originates from God. Look at this in verse 22. The Lord spoke to who? The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, and he tells what the Lord told him in verses 24, 25, and 26. And it's expected that the sons of Aaron, the priestly tribe of Israel, carries out this blessing on the nation of Israel. So God graciously, lovingly speaks to Moses and gives instructions or commandments to be obeyed. Now, I want you to turn to chapter 1 of Numbers. I want you to look briefly at this journey here. Now, at this time when the Numbers, historically, the time frame, the nation of Israel is around Mount Sinai. Moses has received the Decalogue and all the commandments of the Lord associated with and after the Decalogue that is given. And so, in their journey, they're going from Mount Sinai into the promised land, Canaan. And I want you to look here, chapter 1, look at verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. The Lord did what? The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tent of meeting on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they come out of the land of Egypt, saying, skip down to verse 19. Look at verse 19. As the Lord commanded Moses. Look at verse 48. Verse 48 of chapter 1. For the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, look at verse 54 of chapter 1. Verse 54. Thus did the people of Israel, they did according to all that the Lord commanded them. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, go down to verse 34 of chapter 2. Verse 34. Thus did the people of Israel according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. Look at chapter 3 now. Chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, look at verse 11 of chapter 3. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, look at verse 14. And the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, look at verse 40. Verse 40 of chapter 3. And the Lord said to Moses, look at verse 44. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, look at verse 51 of chapter 3. Verse 51. And Moses gave the redemption money to Aaron and his sons according to the word of the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses. Chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, look at verse 17. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, look at verse 21. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, look at verse 37. Verse 37. According to the commandment of the Lord by Moses. Look at verse 41. The end of verse 41. According to the commandment of the Lord. Look at verse 45. The very end of verse 45. According to the commandment of the Lord by Moses. Look at verse 49, the very end of verse 49, as the Lord commanded Moses. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the people of Israel. Look at verse 5. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, look at verse 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel. Chapter 6, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, listen, brothers and sisters, can you not get it? God originates the blessing. God is speaking in His majesty and His power and His glory. He is giving His word to His precious children, the wonderful children of this one. And so first of all, we need to see that this blessing originates from God. He is the author of this blessing. He is the starter of this blessing, and he's going to be the finisher of this blessing. He is the one who is going to see it through all the way from beginning to the very end. He is going to sustain his people. He is going to guide his people. He's going to protect his people. He's going to lead his people. He's going to love his people, and praise his name is going to be accomplished. For God is God. God is the originator of this blessing. And as we so wonderfully sing at times, since you've come, my dear brother, thank you. We began to sing the old doxology at times. Wonderful, wonderful song. Sing it with me. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. So we see that God is the originator of this blessing. Number two, we see that this blessing is mediated by Aaron and his sons, the priests. Aaron was over the priesthood tribe. And in the Israelites moving in their conquest into Canaan, there was the tabernacle that was set up, and the cloth were designated around, different ones around the tabernacle, north, south, east, and west. And also the Levitical tribe, the priests, and the ones who worked in carrying out the functions of the tabernacle to make sure that all the instruments and the curtain and all the altars and everything was set in its proper place was carried out by the Levites. So this blessing is mediated by Aaron and his son. We don't need an earthly man to mediate for us today. One more time. We do not need an earthly man to mediate for us today. In the new covenant under the Lord Jesus Christ through his shed blood, we have access directly to wonderful, holy God the Father. Bible scholars tell us that in the earliest days, an archaeological discovery was made in Jerusalem in a Judean tomb, and a silver amulet was found, and it dates back to the 7th and 6th century B.C. and contained within this silver amulet is this Levitical blessing here from Aaron. Number three, the blessing declares that God guards and protects his people. Look at verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. And so God spoke to Aaron and his son, saying, this is what you are to say to the people of Israel. You are to say to them, first of all, the Lord bless you and keep you. And this really means that God guards and protects his people. Now, God blesses in many, many ways. Unfortunately, we tend to think that God blesses according to our bank account. That's not the only way that God blesses. As a matter of fact, for a lot of us, that's not the way God blesses. Mainly because we're not disciplined in our finances and our giving. But God blesses in ways that are not necessarily tied directly to your bank account. Listen. Do you have good health tonight? If you do, praise God. Do you have good mental health and the ability to think rationally and logically? If you do, praise God tonight. Do you have a roof over your head so that when you go home at night, you have a roof over your head and a safe place to lie down and sleep? If you do, praise God. Did you have or do you now have parents who provided love, nurture, guidance, and discipline in your life? If so, praise God. Do you have ears to hear? If so, praise God. Do you have a voice in which you can speak and communicate? If so, praise God. Do you have hands that can hold another person's hand, give a courteous handshake, or arms and hands that can reach out and embrace another human being? If so, praise God for that blessing. Do you have arms and hands that can hold a precious little baby or child? Do you have eyes that can see clearly and distinctly? Do you have legs with feet on them that enable you to walk? If so, brothers and sisters, praise God. That's a blessing. Do you have a job that provides a consistent paycheck for you? If you do, praise God. Now, let me stop here. I know some of you may be thinking, boy, I sure wish I had another job. I wish it was somewhere else I was working. Well, you know, the grass is not always greener on the other side. And I've heard this phrase, oh, I just can't wait to retire. Well, you can wait to retire, right, retirees? Some of you, your problems and your issues are still with you even after you retire. Let me ask you this. How many of you in this room have never been confined to a hospital bed or admitted to the hospital at all for any illness in your life at all? If that is you, if you're one of those, praise God, that's a blessing. Do you have friends? Do you really have people that you can call on that are your true friend that would help you out? If so, praise God, that's a blessing. Young people, do you have a teacher that means a lot to you? If so, praise God, that's a blessing. God's gracious favor on your life. Do you have a car or other means of transportation of which to get around? If so, praise God, that's a blessing. Adults, do you have children that are blessed with good health? If so, praise God, that's a blessing. Adults, do you have children that have great athletic abilities, great academic achievements, or great musical talent? If you have children in any of those, praise God, that's a blessing. Do you have children or grandchildren? That's a blessing. This morning, your two boys and I were over here on this aisle, and I had a flashback. No, I wasn't on drugs. This is a mental flashback, okay? I thought about when Micah was a baby, and when Micah was just a little tiny thing and was born, and Ginger would bring him in the car carrier and bring him in the office, I could just look at Micah funny, and he would crack up laughing, didn't he? And I'd play this little game where I'd point my finger, and I'd go, whoop, and he'd just cackle out loud. Well, Micah had Caleb, and they were in the floor wrestling, and he had Caleb on top of him. So I went to the old game of and both of them started laughing. Then Caroline and Junju came up. Children are blessing. Children are blessing. Wonderful blessing. As I got into my car to go home, I said, Lord, praise you. Lord, praise you for these wonderful children. For Greg and Ginger. You're so faithful. Number four, the blessing speaks of God's presence with his people, as we see in verse 25. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Now I want you to hold your place here and go to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 26. Here God speaks of blessing his people with his presence. That's what it means in this priestly blessing when it says the Lord to make his face to shine upon you. That means God is looking with you in his presence. It's like being compared to the presence of the radiance of the sun as it reflects on us. And we enjoy its qualities of causing our food to grow, the grass to grow, flowers to grow. And so we are blessed. The blessing speaks of God's presence. But look in Leviticus chapter 26, look at verse 11. God says to the nation of Israel, because you are obedient, here's some blessings for being obedient. Look at verse 11. I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. Verse 12. And I will walk among you, and will be your people. I will be your God, and you will be my people. God promises his presence to those he blesses. Most of you know that it was 2.5 weeks ago that I was in the hospital at East Alabama Medical Center. I passed out after accompanying choir on Wednesday evening. And I knew I was beginning to pass out, and so I'm a big man. And so what I did was sitting at the bench, and so I purposely leaned my body forward and put my arms up and caught myself because I did not want to go backwards, because I did not want anybody to think that I was slain in the spirit as a result of choir practice. Now that's okay if they are slain in the spirit, that's fine. But the problem is there was no catcher to catch me. And so I leaned forward, and I do not remember a whole lot. I'm laughing because somebody said something. And if you're one of these that said that, please, I'm not making fun of you, but it is hilarious, okay? The person, whoever it was, said, get him on the table, get him on the table. Now, you need to understand the table is designed to hold music up. Not a fat old Baptist preacher. And so I said, and I don't remember saying this because I was disoriented, but I heard it, and I'm hard of hearing. And when I hear something and I'm hard of hearing, it's really profound. And so I'm leaning, and I said out loud, "No, this old grand piano's holding this fat old body up. Leave me alone." So the paramedic came, and I do remember getting up to walk to the gurney. And the man, it was funny, the man said, "Can you walk to the gurney?" I said, "Yes." So I did. So they get me in the gurney, and I'm going, and on the way, on the way to the ambulance, you know, this is a big body, and the gurney is not made for big bodies. And so I'm hanging off the edges. And so they said, "Fold your arms." Well, I didn't fold my arms. I did like this. You know? That was not the direction to go in. That was when it was clearly I was disoriented at that point. And I was not drunk. I was really sick. But I never forget getting to the hospital in the ER. I do remember Cliff coming, Brother Al coming, Jeff coming, and Dick Lane, Alice and Rayford Chambliss. And just, I'm telling you, it was a three-ring circus. If some of you have been in the emergency room lately, you know what I'm talking about. The emergency room can be a three-ring circus. And so there's all this activity is going on, and people are coming in and being treated, and I'm in this holding area, and the only thing separating you from another patient about less than 8 feet from you is a little thin curtain. And so they had this one precious old man, and he was pulled over for drunk driving. And I mean, he was old. He was old as dirt. But anyway, I later found out, they asked him, "How much of you had to drink?" He said, "Oh, I've only had a half a case of beer, not much." But anyway, thank the Lord they got him off the road from behind the wheel of a car. But all this is going on, and the doctor checked me out, and the nurse first tells me, and said, "Mr. Director, thankfully you've not had a heart attack." And I'm going, "All right. Then she gives me the next one, "You're being admitted to the hospital." And I went, "Oh, no, that's not good." So I get to my room, and they put me in what is called the cardiovascular step-down unit, which is on the second floor, and it's designed for people who've had open-heart surgery. So I knew at that point, even though I had not had a major heart attack, they were still concerned about my heart. And so I get in this room, and all of a sudden, I just really, really sense I'm not alone. And this is after everybody has gone home. You had gone home. You had left. You were getting ready to go to London. I told you to go home. You had left. And it's just me. But I'm not alone. The Lord is with me. And the presence of God was just, I mean, it was just so powerful. And just sensing the presence of the Lord, I had this wonderful peace, which leads me to point number five of my sermon. The blessing proclaims God's favor and peace for his people. As we go back to Numbers chapter 6, look at verse 26. "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Oh, listen, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, a lot of you in here know what I'm talking about, but there may be some of you sitting in this pew tonight, you don't have a clue to what I'm talking about because you've never experienced it. But it's this peace of God that just floods your soul. Even though all the circumstances around you is going bananas and bonkers and things are crazy, but you have this deep, abiding peace. And I'm telling you, that peace comes from God. That peace comes from the Lord that he gives to his people in times of trouble. And so this was a time of trouble for me, and The Hebrew word here for you, as many of you know, is shalom. But it means more than just the absence of war. It really means a total well-being. And so that's what it was for me that night. Is I spent two nights in the hospital and had tests the next day, and one of the tests was not very good in its outcome, so they said, you've got to have a heart catheterization on Friday, which I did, and had a heart catheterization, and the cardiologist came out, and he told those who were there to listen to the cardiologist on my behalf that my heart was clean. And Brother Cliff looked at him and said, you better check that again. Cliff was there out of love and concern. But my heart physically was clean. There was no major blockages. Praise God. That's a blessing. And I'm so grateful. But number six, and my final point in this sermon, is the blessing teaches that God's people are called by his name. Paul tells us, or the writer of the book of Acts, Dr. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Now today, that term Christian has been misused and misapplied, abused to describe people that can believe just about anything and everything that they want to about Jesus Christ. And many of you know that. I prefer to use the term a follower of Jesus. A lot of people use believers. But truthfully, brothers and sisters and guests, we are called by God's name. Those of us who have been called and been born again of the Spirit of God and have been given the new birth in Jesus Christ, we are called by God's name to be holy as he is holy. Now, we can never attain holiness as a total state of perfection in this earthly journey, but we are to strive for practical holiness by following after God's commandments. So, here's the question. Are you blessed? Are you blessed tonight? Here's another question that goes with it. Are you being a blessing to other people? I don't think he's here tonight. I don't see Viva or Adam Hodell. Are they here? They are. Yes. Why miss your husband and your father? Scott Hodell was always telling me, God bless you, John Dale. He would hug me and say, God bless you, John Dale. Sometimes he'd hug me and say, God bless you. I'm praying for you. Sometimes he would hug me and say, God bless you. You really need prayer today. You know, Scott had this wonderful sense of humor. I never forget, before God called him home, went to the house to visit with him, and he coughed. I know it had to be at least 4 minutes. He was just coughing because of that cancerous tumor was pressing on the vagus nerve right there in his chest wall, and that triggers that coughing reaction easily. So he coughed and he coughed and he coughed to the point that I thought he was literally going to pass out from lack of breath. I mean, he coughed for a long time. It had to be over 4 minutes. And he got through coughing and he looked at me and said, "How do you like my new hobby?" And when he said it, I went, "What?" And he said it again, "How do you like my new hobby?" And I just burst into tears. And I said, "Scott, in the midst of your trouble and your darkest time, you can smile and crack a joke." And he said, "Well, God gives us that ability to those of us who have dry wit. God does give us blessings to those who obey him. So, are you blessed? And are you being a blessing?" Let us stand. May the good Lord bless and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Before I pray, the altar is open if you need to do business with God. You obey God. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the invitation is for you to receive Christ, to trust him. For you see, he is our hope. We sang about that tonight. He is our Redeemer. He is our help. He is our wonderful counselor. He is our friend. But most of all, he is the Son of God who came to redeem us from our sinful nature and to save us. So the invitation is open for you to respond to Jesus Christ and his offer of salvation. And I pray you obey God if he lets you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the wonderful blessing found here in your word. May we be a blessing to other people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just as